Part 2. Mindfulness of Feelings. Chapter 6. Sensations and Emotions. Burdened with years, the householder Nakulapita went to see the Buddha. He said, "I am aged, venerable sir, come to the last stage, afflicted in body, often ill. Let the Blessed One instruct me." "So it is, householder," the Buddha replied. "If anyone carrying around this body of yours were to claim to be healthy even for a moment, what is that other than foolishness? You should train yourself thus. Even though I am afflicted in body, my mind will not be afflicted." Nakulapita delighted in the Blessed One's words. He paid respect to the Buddha and left. Then he approached the Venerable Sariputta and asked him to explain in detail the meaning of the Buddha's brief statement. Venerable Sariputta said, "A person who is unfamiliar with the teaching of the Buddha regards the five aggregates as his self. With the change and decay of these aggregates, there arises in him sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. Thus he is afflicted both in body and in mind." A noble disciple who has heard the Dharma, on the other hand, does not regard the aggregates as his self. The aggregates may change, but sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair do not arise in him. Thus, though he may still be afflicted in body, he is not afflicted in mind. Nakulapita rejoiced, since this wise advice would lead to his welfare and happiness for a long time. We can say that the entire teaching of the Buddha is based on feelings. Toward the end of his life, after 45 years of teaching, the Buddha said, "Bhikkhus, I have taught only two things, suffering and the end of suffering." The story of Nakulapita points to the essence of the Buddha's teaching on ending the feeling of suffering. Because of our untrained bodies, senses, and consciousness, we suffer physical pain, such as that caused by illness and aging, and emotional pain, such as sorrow and grief. Our suffering arises, as Venerable Sariputta explained to Nakulapita, because we regard the five aggregates, body, feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and consciousness, as being in ourself or ourself as being in them. In fact, the feeling we all have of "I am" or "I exist," what Western psychology calls the ego, arises from clinging to these aggregates and regarding them as mine or me. But through training in the second foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of feelings, we can train our minds to use life's inevitable pains, such as illness and aging, as objects of meditation. However, we should not wait till we become old and ill, like Nakulapita. If we build the habit now, when we experience painful feelings, we will understand that, like everything else, pain is impermanent. Moreover, there is no permanent self or me who is experiencing the pain. When we develop spiritually and realize this truth, neither physical pain nor mental unhappiness can cause us to suffer. As we begin work on developing mindfulness of feelings, we should keep two points in mind. First, in English we use the word feeling in two ways. It means both physical sensations that arise as a result of contact with external objects, and inwardly generated emotions that are primarily mental or psychological. But in the Buddha's teaching, the word feeling, vedana in Pali and Sanskrit, includes both physical sensations and mental emotions. For clarity, I use the word sensations to refer to feelings that arise from external sensory contact, and emotions to refer to non-sensory feelings that are generated internally. When I use the word feelings, I mean to include both sensations and emotions. Second, we must recognize that pain, sadness, and other unpleasant sensations and emotions are not the only feelings that cause us to suffer. Pleasurable feelings, such as attachment, desire, and clinging, also cause suffering. As the Dhammapada says, "As a great flood carries away a sleeping village, so death seizes and carries away the man with a clinging mind, doting on his children and cattle." Clinging to anything, children, cattle, or really any persons, places, sounds, smells, tastes, touches, or ideas, is like sleeping. When we are attached, even pleasantly so, we are not mindful, and thus we are vulnerable to suffering. When we are free from desire, although the entire universe continues to change, we do not suffer. Three kinds of feelings. The first step in developing mindfulness of feelings is distinguishing among the various kinds. Sometimes the Buddha says that there are two kinds of feelings, pleasant and unpleasant. Other times he mentions three kinds, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. Neutral feelings are neither pleasant nor unpleasant. When we have a pleasant feeling, we should be mindful that we are having a pleasant feeling. That's pretty straightforward. Whenever we feel pleasure, we know that it is pleasure. Similarly, when we have a painful feeling, we know that it is painful feeling and can be mindful of that. People understand pleasant and unpleasant feelings naturally without too much explanation. The third category, neutral feelings, may be slightly more confusing for people who do not pay much attention to feelings. It helps to remember that in the Dharma, there is no category called mixed feeling. Maintaining mindfulness of the three kinds of feelings is relatively easy, because when we pay attention, we notice that when we are experiencing a pleasant feeling, no unpleasant or neutral feeling is present. The same is true of an unpleasant and a neutral feeling. In other words, we experience one emotion or sensation at a time. Moreover, when we are mindful, we notice very quickly that our feelings are always changing without any conscious control. Say, for instance, we're in a happy mood. The sun is shining and we've finished our work and are heading home to a good dinner. But after a while, even though we might wish to hold on to that pleasant feeling, it disappears and a neutral feeling arises. Then perhaps we recall an argument we had with a friend during the day and our neutral feeling changes to an unpleasant one. So from our experience we know very well that every feeling, pleasant, painful or neutral, is impermanent. Watching how quickly our feelings change, without any effort on our part, we realize another important truth. We begin to see that feelings are just feelings, not my feelings or parts of me. We realize that we often identify so closely with our feelings that they seem to be part of our basic identity. We say, "My knee hurts whenever I sit down to meditate," or "I am angry about the government," as if these feelings were unchanging parts of a self that is also permanent, everlasting, and immutable. But if our feelings were identical with the self, and the self were permanent, then our feelings of pain or anger should also be permanent. Experience tells us that this is not the case. Feelings change, and our so-called self has no control over the changes. Observing this, we see very clearly that the self cannot be a permanent entity. Dealing with pain. Of the three basic kinds of feelings we've been discussing, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, the unpleasant feeling of pain is likely the most difficult for us to manage. So long as we have a body and consciousness, we have pain. Even enlightened beings have pain. Once, Devadatta, the Buddha's enemy, hurled a rock at the Buddha. A splinter hit the Buddha's foot. His personal physician, Jivaka, applied some medicine to the spot where the Buddha had bruises. That night the Buddha experienced excruciating pain. But using mindfulness, he endured the pain. Unlike the Buddha, when painful sensations arise, we often become anxious, angry, or depressed. We react this way because we don't know how to deal with pain. The Buddha's basic instruction to his monks is very clear on this point. When a monk is feeling a painful feeling, he becomes mindful that he is feeling a painful feeling. So the first step is simply to notice that we are feeling pain. But this instruction also tells us that the sensation of pain has both a physical and a psychological dimension. Physical pain can often be overcome by medical treatment. So, of course, first we should do whatever we can to alleviate the pain, such as consulting a doctor or taking medicine. However, some ailments cause pain that persists no matter how much medicine we take. In such cases, we should follow the Buddha's example and use the pain as an object of meditation. When we mindfully pay attention to a sensation of pain, the first thing we notice is that the sensation is always changing. For instance, A sharp stabbing pain changes to tingling pain, which changes to burning pain. In other words, like all feelings, pain is impermanent. As we become absorbed in watching these changing sensations, we start to relax and drop our resistance to the pain. As the barrier between me and the pain dissolves, and we watch the sensations ebb and flow, we may be surprised to observe that we are no longer suffering. The pain may still be there as a flow of sensations, but the me that was being hurt by the pain has disappeared. The same technique can be used to deal with painful emotions such as sadness, grief, or depression. When painful emotions arise, we pay attention to them. We notice that they are always changing. We watch them ebb and flow. For instance, we mindfully pay attention as grief changes to anger and then to anxiety or depression. We keep in mind that no permanently existing self is experiencing these emotions and that no painful emotion is permanent. This recognition in itself brings a measure of relief. Many kinds of feelings. Once we understand the three basic kinds of feeling, we can begin to make more detailed distinctions. For instance, we are all familiar with pleasant and unpleasant feelings that arise through our five senses, such as the pleasant, agreeable form of a beautiful flower, or the unpleasant, disagreeable smell of garbage. As the Buddha explained, when we consider the five types of sense consciousness and the objects they perceive, eyes and forms, nose and smells, ears and sounds, tongue and tastes, and skin and touches, we can distinguish 15 types of feelings. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feelings linked to each sense. We can also add a sixth sense, mind and mental objects such as thoughts, memories, imaginings, and daydreams. These can also be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So now we have 18 kinds of feelings. When we consider that each of these 18 kinds can arise as either a physical sensation or an internally generated emotion, we have 36. Multiplying these 36 by past, present, and future, we can distinguish 108 kinds of feelings. You may be wondering, what's the point of all these categories? To answer this question, we remember that the Buddha's basic instruction on mindfulness of feelings is contemplate the feeling in feelings in order to know feelings as they really are. The Dharma teaches us about 108 kinds of feelings to underscore that there are indeed many different kinds of feeling in feelings. In addition, when we start paying attention to feelings, at first we notice them only superficially. We practice being mindful of experiencing pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feelings. As our mindfulness deepens, we begin to make further distinctions. So, for instance, we are mindful of the difference between sensations and emotions and of which sense consciousness is linked to the feeling. Only through practice can we distinguish among all 108 categories. How feelings arise. So how do feelings arise? Understanding a little bit about this process helps us to develop mindfulness because we see that even a simple feeling, such as our pleasure when we see the form of a beautiful flower, arises from a series of interdependent steps. In brief, feelings arise dependent upon contact. Contact arises dependent on three other factors: the senses, an object, and consciousness. Here is how the process works. Things that can be known by the mind through the senses, like a flower, are called mental objects. Each object has a certain quality or function. The senses are like the tentacles of an octopus. The tentacles make initial contact with the object and pass this contact along to the mind. However, the real contact takes place in the mind. Simultaneously with the exposure of the senses to an object, consciousness arises. The mind must be conscious to receive the contact passed along by the senses and interpret it correctly. When the mind contacts an object, a mental impression arises in the mind that brings out the function of the object. This impression is feeling. Feeling can be compared to a hand that squeezes an orange to get orange juice. When pleasure is squeezed out of the object, we experience a pleasant feeling. When pain is squeezed out of the object, we experience an unpleasant feeling. This feeling can be either a physical sensation or a mental emotion. The intensity and clarity of a particular feeling depends on many conditions. For example, if our eyes are healthy, the beautiful flower we are looking at is illuminated by bright sunlight, and we are standing close by and paying attention, our visual contact with the flower will be sharp and clear. As a result, the pleasant feeling arising from the eye contact will also be sharp and clear. But if our eyesight is poor, the light is dim, we are far away, or our consciousness is distracted, the flower will not make strong contact. In that case, the feeling that arises dependent on these conditions will be weak and subtle. The same applies to the other external senses. In the same way, if the mind is clear, the thoughts arising in the mind are clear, and the feeling arising from the mind contact is strong. The feeling we get also depends on our mental state. An object may generate a pleasant feeling in one person and an unpleasant feeling in someone else, depending on the person's state of mind. Meditating on mindfulness of feelings. When we meditate on mindfulness of feelings, we keep in mind that feeling arises dependent upon contact. As contact changes, the feelings also change. When we experience a pleasant feeling, we think, "This is a pleasant feeling. It has arisen depending on these factors." When these factors disappear, this pleasant feeling will also disappear. We do the same for an unpleasant feeling or a neutral feeling. We don't do anything to control our feelings or make them change. We only notice that our feelings are changing. Each feeling arises due to causes and conditions and then slips away. The mind cannot hold on to what we are experiencing and naturally lets it go. What else can it do? Nothing. As we observe this process, we should not try to put our feelings into words. Labeling our sensations and emotions can actually distort them or disguise them as something else. Each person's feelings of pain or pleasure are totally personal. Feelings cannot really be conveyed in words exactly as they were experienced. We simply let the breath flow in and out. We stay fully awake and alert, paying total attention to each feeling as it arises, peaks, and passes away. As we meditate, certain special feelings may arise. One of these is called spiritual urgency. We see clearly that pain arises and pain disappears. Pleasure arises and pleasure disappears. As we watch this repeating pattern, an insight arises that as long as we take birth in any form, we will continue to suffer. This insight inspires us to accelerate our spiritual practice and find a way to end this vicious cycle of birth and death right now, once and for all. We may also experience a special feeling of pleasure as we meditate that does not have an underlying tendency toward desire. Our body becomes calm, our mind becomes calm, and there is no agitation, no excitement. We experience very deep peace. This pleasurable feeling, arising from knowing that this pleasurable feeling and everything else is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and selfless, does not arouse any attachment. We simply experience it. We see the reality. Key points for mindfulness of feelings. You can practice mindfulness of feelings within your regular meditation on mindfulness of breathing. When feelings arise, notice whether they are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Watch as each feeling arises, peaks, and passes away. You do not need to do anything to control these feelings or make them change. Simply observe and then return your attention to the breath. When feelings arise, notice whether they are sensations that result from contact with an external object or emotions that arise internally. Watch as each arises, peaks, and passes away. Then return your attention to the breath. As you observe your sensations, notice which sense and sense consciousness is the source of the sensation. For example, are you feeling warmth arising from the touch contact between your skin and the cushion, or the sound of a bird outside the window, or the smell of the soup cooking in the kitchen? Don't verbalize these sensations or try to label them. Simply notice that you are experiencing a sensation and then return your attention to the breath. For instance, say that the sensation is the agreeable sound of a bird. Pay attention only to the process that allows you to hear the sound. Sound waves making contact with your ear and being transmitted to your brain, which analyzes the contact and gives rise to a mental impression or feeling. Remind yourself, this is a pleasant feeling. It has arisen depending on these factors. When these factors disappear, this pleasant feeling will also disappear. Return your attention to the breath. If a sensation of physical pain arises, watch how the sensation changes. Watch its intensity ebb and flow without rejecting or resisting it. Remember that pain is not a thing, but an event. Pain is impermanent. There is no permanent I who is experiencing this sensation. If you feel an internally generated emotion, notice it without value judgment. Don't help it, hinder it, or interfere with it in the slightest. Simply watch as the emotion rises, peaks, and passes away. Then return your attention to the breath. For instance, if you experience a pleasant fantasy while you are meditating, notice that you have been distracted by a fantasy. Notice how strong it is and how long it lasts. Notice the mental state of desire that accompanies the fantasy. Watch as it passes away and return your attention to the breath.